Paul says, there's good news, there's good news. The righteous will live by faith, but there's bad news. Here's the stuff. And then he continues in Romans chapter 2. Do you suppose, O man, that you who judge those who practice such things, yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? You can't say you're a Christian and keep doing it. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Now he's talking to people who judge, passing judgment on others. People who stand in righteousness, judging others. Verse 6 of chapter 2 says, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and the Greek also. God shows no partiality. So that's fully the bad news. Do you remember Adam Clark, the quote, those who refuse to be saved in the way revealed by his mercy must be consumed in the way revealed by his justice. And Romans chapter 3, verse 3 says this, look at what it says. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? That's the verse that answers this question for you. Have you been heard this question? The world is so messed up, it proves that there is no God. Look at the world, look at the wars, look at the suffering, and you expect me to believe that there is a God? And Paul answers it, well, if some are unfaithful, does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? Do the cheating people who don't follow Jesus and ruin the world mean that there's no God? Well, if there was a God, God should make it right. I said, okay, but that means he has to make you right too. So you want God to get them, but then he's going to get you. Is that what you want? So right now, just judge everyone. Which side of the line are you on? God should make the world all right. Well, yes, okay, so are you a murderer? Are you an adulterer? Are you a thief? Because that'll be you too. Get over there, and here comes the blow. Right? Most people don't think about that. They think God should fix the brokenness, but they're not the broken. We're not the broken. In the church, we think God should fix the brokenness, but we're the broken. So you're not good now that you're in church. You might be better than you used to be, but you're still not worthy of heaven, even though you're in church. I have to preach to you, and I know what I'm writing here, and I think, oh, what am I like? You know, when the tool falls on my toe out in the shed, the first sound doesn't sound Christian. He continues on and on through chapter 3 of Romans. By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? If I can't help but sin, is it God's fault that I sin? Verse 6 says, no way. Otherwise, how would God judge the world? But if through my lie, God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? Why not do evil and then God could forgive a lot of stuff and good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying. So Paul's saying, the Jewish people are saying, we're just telling people they can go on and sin and all's forgiven. But that's not true. They're lying about us. Their condemnation is just, it says at the end of verse 8. What then? Are religious people any better off? No, not at all. We have already charged that all, both the religious and the worldly, the Jews and the Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, and he quotes the Psalms and he quotes the Proverbs here, none is righteous, not one. Whoops, bad news. No one understands, no one seeks for God, bad news. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. Not one does good, not even one, bad news. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. Sounds like election year. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. It sounds like the reporters reporting on the politicians. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Wow, bad news. And verse 19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Today, hearing this scripture, working through this bit of Romans we were always going to have to get through, I think you need to put your hand to your mouth and go, I don't even know how I'm going to judge the other one. I can't stand in righteousness. I come to you, brother, sister, I have no moral high ground, but you're in sin. You need to change. What you're doing, God is very clear, this is not acceptable. You're doing this. No, I'm not. Oh, I thought you were. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have judged you. You're doing this. Yes, I'm doing it, and you can't tell me, and I don't accept God. You know, you're going to be outside of God's kingdom for your choice to live by your own righteousness and declare that you're right and what God says is wrong. That's what's going to happen. Fine then, stop badgering me. Leave me alone. Okay, I still love you and you have your choices and I don't even hate you because of your choices. I felt that I needed to come and to tell you this and now I understand where you stand. That's one of the ways that we're called as Christians to bear witness inside the church, but to your neighbor as well. And it breaks relationship. And it draws lines. And in this world where you have a shrinking Christian identity, and more people say, no, I won't have that stuff of God. I want my stuff. You feel like a minority maybe, but the people who hear what God has to say are saved. And this is the witness of a Christian in the world. I am at the end of the sermon, and we did take a little bit more time with the mission spot, and I know that you have places to go, but I'm going to finish this. Usually by now, I think I would just stop, but we need to get out of the pit of this and move on into the grace of it, and so today is the day to finish that. Verse 20 of chapter 3 says, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, and this is the good news, the righteousness of God has been manifested. Apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. Verse 23 and 24 are a pair. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you ever talk to anybody about any sin, you make sure you say we. You make sure that you recognize this when you look in the mirror. You make sure when you go to someone that it's a sinner going to someone. All have sinned and are justified by his grace as a free gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we're back to the good news. You are sick, but there is a cure. It's free to us, but it came at great cost. Pay attention to the symptoms. Agree about the diagnosis. We suffer from having turned away from God in every instance. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." That's from Romans chapter 6. That's like, you know, in 2020 or something. We'll get there. "Those who refuse to be saved in a way revealed by his mercy must be consumed in a way revealed by his justice." Adam Clark saying something that's very useful to us this morning. The bad news, the test has come back and you test positive for SIN, right? The good news is that his mercy is available in Christ's death. The good news is that his mercy is available in Christ's resurrection. And that's the end of it. Lord, we need this gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. We need this good news. Nobody who doesn't agree that they're sick will ever go to hospital. We recognize, Father God, this is elective surgery and that you are doing it through Jesus Christ, bringing healing and wholeness in his name. And we receive that. We agree about sin. We agree about our sin. And we understand about the sin of others. Help us confront our sin and confront sin where we see it, because only those forgiven in Jesus' name who agree that it's sin and are forgiven will see your face in heaven. And so thank you for the truth of that. And will you help us, Holy Spirit, to apply it to our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.